Hello to all my chaverim from Yeshiva Torah Moshe and others from around the world. Welcome to our Mishnah Shir. We're doing Masechtas Pesachim. We're up to the second parak, Mishnah Gimel. And it's also found on Daf Lamed Beis in your Gemara. Nachri Shehilves Yisrael Achemso Achra Pesach Mutar Bahana. If a Nachri loaned money to Yisrael, and Yisrael used his chametz as a mashka in order to make sure that money would get paid back to the Nachri in case the Yisrael didn't pay off his debt, he would take the mashka, it was security. What happens to this chametz after Pesach? It's mutar b'hana. So what happened? Yisrael borrowed money from the Nachri before Pesach and he gave him this chametz as security, but he never paid. So the chametz becomes the guys. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph teaches, according to Rav there, who we paskin like, that the din of the Mishnah that the chametz left after Pesach is mutar b'hana is only if you have two conditions. One, it was they made an agreement between them that the mashkin would become the nachri's lemafreya retroactively from the time of the loan if the loan was never paid off. So the Nachri would own the chametz retroactively from before Pesach. And also, secondly, that the chametz would be the whole time in the house of the Nachri during Pesach. Under those conditions, if the Yisrael did not pay off his loan, the Nachri would own the chametz from before Pesach, it would be in his home, and it would be mutar b'hana for any Yisrael to have use of it afterwards. Now, the Rosh explains that the reason why it has to be in the house of the Nachri is that he should have a kinyan in the chametz. Because a lot of Paiskim who say that a Nachri doesn't have a kinyan in Kesef. As we see in Yeridaya, Siman Shin Chaf, Sif, Vav. And also, if the Yisrael had responsibility on the chametz in Pesach, it would be like the chametz of the Yisraels, as far as Chametz Shalva Pesach, even though it wasn't his the whole time. So without any agreement to the opposite, the mashkin that a borrower keeps, he keeps the mashkin, it's his achrayas, even if the mashkin was already made a kinyan to the one who made the loan, the malva. And the Yisrael, who was the lova, would have to get rid of it from his house before Pesach. But if the mashkin was in the rishus of the malva, the one who made the loan, the Magen Avraham in Tav Mem Aleph Sif Gimel teaches that even if there's still an obligation for the lova, for that mashkin, which is chametz, still he doesn't have to get rid of it. So the point is, it's got to be in the Nachri's house, and they have to make a deal that it would be his from before Pesach if he doesn't pay, if the Yisrael doesn't pay off the loan. Now, just to look into for a minute or so, how a Yisrael has a din of kinyan metaltlim. It's interesting. There's machlokas and vadazar ayin aleph amat aleph between a meimer of Ashi. If a Nachri can be kind from Yisrael with Mashicha or with Kesef. The Makid Mishnah, Perak Aleph, Hilchos Chi Matana, Halacha Yudalit, teaches that the sheet of the Rambam is that a Nachri is kind of metaltlin whether he's in Kesef or Mashicha. The Lacha Mishnah has a Tzarech Iyan on the Rambam because in Hilchas Avodah Zarah Perak Zayin Halacha Hey, the Rambam said Afal Pi Shamashicha Kona, which is Mashma, that just Mashicha is Kona and not Kesef. So how come over here he mentions that it could be either Kesef or Mashicha? The Dibris Maisha in Baba Basra Chelek Bey Semen Nun Aleph Gimel. The Ramaskal Lama goes into this seemingly contradiction of the Rambam to explain it. Now, Rashi Shita in Kedushin Yudal Mabeis Ramaskal Hayel is that a Nachri is kind of a Tatlan just with Kesef. So the Rambam in our Halacha was saying either with Kesef or Mashicha, or according to that alternative in Avodah Zarah that it's just Mashicha, and Rashi holds that only Kesef. The Birag Ra in Chashem Mishvot Simen Kuf Tzadik Dalet Sif Yad Aleph says that most poskim, except for Rashi and the Rambam, hold that he's Nachri is kind of a Tatlan only with Mashicha, And that's the way it seems from the Mishnah Brura, Hilchas Pesach, Semen, Taf Mem Aleph, Sif Katan Beis. So we said, Achra Pesach, it's Mutter Bahana, which means that if after Pesach, the Yisrael went back to the Nachri, who he lost his Mashkan of Chametz to, because he didn't pay off his loan in time, and he goes back to the Nachri and he says, I'd like to buy back that Chametz. He could buy back, and it'd be Mutter Bahana, and he'd allowed to eat it as well. Now, this machlok has been shown him when exactly the Yisrael had to pay off the loan. He borrowed money from the Nachri, and he used this chametz as a mashkan. When was the original deal that he had to pay off the loan? The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Dalet Halacha Hey, he learns that we're talking about that he had an obligation to pay off the loan before Pesach. And therefore, if he didn't pay off the loan before Pesach, the chametz becomes the Nachri's before Pesach. And the Yisrael won't be over on Chametz Shalvar Pesach. The Ravid says, no, even if the obligation was to pay off the loan after Pesach, still with the conditions that we had, that Lamafreya, the chametz would be of the Nachri's if he doesn't pay it off after Pesach, and it would be staying the whole time in the Nachri's house, it would be his, that would also be okay. And the Shulchan Aruch, Archayin, Taf Menal, Sif, Aleph, Paskins, like the Ravid, the Enith loan was to be paid off after Pesach, as long as we made a deal that the Mafrei would be the Nachri's. If it wasn't paid off, and it stayed in the Nachri's house the whole Pesach, then it would be Mutter for Yisrael afterwards to have enough from it by buying it back from the Nachri. So that's the first case in the Mishnah. The second case in the Mishnah is the reverse. V'Yisrael shehilvus anachri alchem so achar Pesach asa bahana. If a Yisrael loaned money to a Nachri, and the Nachri gave him his chametz as a mashkan security, then after Pesach, it would be usher for the Yisrael to have anah from this chametz. So what would happen would be that the Nachri borrowed the money, he gave a mashkan of chametz to the Yisrael, he didn't pay off his loan, the chametz becomes the Yisrael's, and therefore it's us because of chametz shel va Pesach. The first Yisrael explains that here too we're talking about that the chametz was in the rishus of the malfa, in the Yisrael's rishus during Pesach, because if it was in the Nachri's house, even if they agreed that the mafrei it would be of the Yisrael's, it wouldn't make a difference here because the Yisrael doesn't kind of from the Nachri just with the kesef, because malas and elkanos. He has to actually bring it to his rishus. But if he took the mashkan of the chametz into his house before Pesach, then he would be kind of lamafreya if the Nachri didn't pay, and it would be usher to him after Pesach. Now, on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph continues the rest of this Mishnah here. Chametz shenafel of mapolas reyakim mavur. A big pile of rubble fell on top of chametz. It is like it was completely destroyed. And the Tiferes Yisrael says, we're talking about this pile of rubble fell on top of the chametz before Pesach. So he doesn't have to go and remove, dig out the whole rubble to find the chametz and remove it from there. We treat it as if it's completely destroyed. The Rav learns from the Gemara and Lamed Aleph Mabez and from Rashi there, that still, even though we treat it as if it's destroyed, he still has to be mevatelet. Because maybe the rubble will become undone during Pesach, and he'll be over Bal Yerave Bal Yematze, so he has to be Mavatla to preclude that possibility. Now, the Machlok is what exactly does this Bittel do? Rashi says the Bittel is a Din D'Rabbanan, that he shouldn't come to be over the Bal Yerave Bal Yematze. The Smak, which is brought in the Magen Avraham, Taf Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin, holds that the Bittel is the Makayim D'Araisa of Tashbisu. So, and if he was Mavatlet, the Mishnah is teaching that it's the chametz underneath that pile of rubble is like not there anymore. It's like he took it out and he was makayim the drabbanim that you have to remove chametz even if you were mevatlet. So you normally have a din that you have to get rid of chametz even if you're mevatlet, and therefore being under the pile is if he got rid of it. But let's say this man Isser came already and he wasn't mevatlet, he would have to actually go and dig through the gal and take and destroy the chametz. And the Mishnah Brura and Taf Lamed Gemal, Sifkat and Chaf Hei brings the two days, the Rashis, that it's a Din D'Rabbanan, and the Smak, that it's a Din D'Araisa. Excuse me, continuing on. Shemim Gamlil Aymer, Kol She'en HaKelev Yachal HaChapis Akhrev. The dog can't dig after it. Now the Rambam explains, the Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is coming to explain the Tanakhama, that what kind of a pile is it that we're talking about that the chametz is like it was destroyed? It's a pile that a dog couldn't even get into it. Tosfos says we're talking, even though normally when we say this kind of a lush Rosh Hashanah Gamliel Omer, that it does sound like he's arguing on the Tanakhama. Tosfos says there are plenty of places like this in Shas, and he brings a whole list of them in Bikur and Paragimel Mishnah Vav, and he says this is also a raya to what he's written previously, that we don't hold like the klal that halacha ki the klal is in Ervin Paraches Mishnah Zion Shekol Makam Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel halacha moso, that everywhere Rav Shimon Gamliel is in Shas, we paskin like him. Because if that is true, why did the Rambam have to say that he's not arguing on the Tanakhama? What do we care? We'd paskin this way anyway. It must be, he's telling you he's not arguing on the Tanakhama because we wouldn't paskin like Shimon Gamliel. We would only paskin like the Tanakhama, and the Klal wouldn't stand to say that we always paskin like Shimon Gamliel. Now the Rav brings from the Gemara on Lamed Aleph and Beis that what does it mean a place the dog can't dig down and get it? It's got to be at least 3 tefachim deep. But if it's covered over less, the Meiri says he'd have to get rid of it himself. He'd have to dig down and take it, because there's a chashash that the kelef will take it out in Pesach. And similarly, in our chashog on Taf Lamed Gimel, Sif Yud. This din is even if it's mevatel l'chametz before Pesach, because bittel only works if there's a won't work if there's a chance that a good chance that he'll find it during Pesach. So if it's less than 3 tefachim, there's a good chance that it'll become uncovered during Pesach, and the bittul itself would not work. Continuing on, Mishnah Dalet, which is also on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph in the Gemara, to give you the introduction first, a zar, someone who's not a kayin, is not allowed to eat truma. As it says in Pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud, v'chol zar lo yochol kodesh. But if he did eat it b'mezid, he doesn't care what the halacha is, and he ate the truma on purpose. He's like a goslin, and he has to pay off money, whatever the value is, to a kohen. And he's also chayiv misi b'dei shamayim, and if there was hasra, he'd be chayiv malchus. Now what if he ate b'shaygig? And Pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Yedalet says, V'ish ki yachol kodesh b'shkaga v'yasav chamishisa alav v'nasn l'kohen es hakodesh. So the Mishnah Trumas Vav, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph says that Ha'ochel Truma Shaygig, Mishalim Karen V'chaymish. If you eat Truma B'shaygig, you didn't realize it was Truma and you ate it, you have to pay the value and an extra Chomesh, which is really a fourth. So, because together with that extra piece, it's 1/5 of the total payment, but it's a fourth more than just the original Karen, the value that you ate. What does he pay? He doesn't pay cash in this case. If it's shaygig, he pays chulin mesukanim. He pays nas and truma. He pays the same type of peiros, and those peiros become truma. Now, this payment that he's paying these peiros for eating something truma b'shaygig is even if the kayin didn't lose anything. Because let's say this person who was not a kayin inherited this truma from his mother's father who was a kayin. So it was really his all along, it's just he wasn't able to eat it. And if he ate it b'shogeg instead of giving it to a kohen didn't lose anything because it belonged to the Israel, but still he's chayev to pay peiros, which are okay, and those peiros, mesukanim, would become truma. But, or if the kohen was meichel, let's say a kohen said, fine, go eat the truma, or if he gave it to him, he gave him rishus to eat it. As the Mishnah in Trumas Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph and Beis talk about, and the Rambam Hilchos Trumas Perek Yud, Halacha Chaf Beis, and the Gilyon HaShas here on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Now the Tosfos Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaaseh Man teaches that the Chomesh is the Kapara that he was over on the Isser of Achilas Truma. That's why he has to pay a Chomesh. If he did it be Shagi, he gets a Kapara by paying the Chomesh. Continuing on, Ha'eichel Trumas Chametz B'Pesach. What if he ate? Now we're doing actually the Mishnah. That was the Hakdama to the Dinim of Truma. Now the Mishnah says, Ha'eichel Trumas Chametz B'Pesach. if he had took off truma from some dough before it became chametz, or he actually took it from chametz, but it was still before Pesach, so it really belonged something, truma that he'd have to give to a kohen to eat. And the Meiri explains that if it was actually chametz, and if he wanted to take chametz off on Pesach itself, the chametz would be asur to kohen, and it would never become truma. Because it says in Pasuk in Devarim Yinches, Pasuk Dalet, Reishis deganchu tiroshku tzarecha, Reishis geis sonecha titen lo. It's lo, you have to give it to him. It has to be roi to him, and if it's not roi available for the kohen to eat, it never became truma. Similarly, Taisus and Laflama Beis Maralf, the Rimaskal Davar explains. So, he ate this truma's chametz on Pesach. If he ate it b'shogeg, he didn't realize it was belong. It was truma. The Rav and Rashi, according to one sheet in Gemara Lamed Beis Aleph, says that he made a shaygig. He didn't realize it was truma, but he might have known it was chametz. He didn't care. It doesn't make a difference if it's chametz or not. For our purposes, we just have to know that he unintentionally ate the truma. So what does he do? Mishalim Karen v'chaimish. He pays the value plus an extra fifth, which is really an extra fourth. It's a fifth together with everything, the main amount as well. Now the Rav says that even though chametz on Pesach is asa b'hanah and it's not worth anything, so why over here should he b'shagig pay money to the kohen for eating the truma? It was valueless. It was chametz on Pesach. So he says there's a special chiddush in truma that you're not paying the money when you eat something b'shagig. You're paying peiros, and they become truma. It doesn't have to do with the value of the peiros that he ate, but it has to do with the quantity that he ate. And if the quantity was a certain amount, he has to give that quantity to the kohen, even if what he ate had no official value. So that's b'shagig he has to pay. For eating truma's chametz on Pesach, he has to pay the peiros to the kohen. And b'mezid, and if he did b'mezid, he's part of mitashlum, and he doesn't have to pay anything. The Rav says, because b'mezid, you go according to the value of what he harmed, he damaged the person that he could have given the truma to. And chametz isn't worth anything, as we said, and therefore there's no chiyuv. If he did b'mezid, he doesn't have any monetary loss. So it seems counterintuitive. If he did something b'mezid, he wouldn't end up paying. If he ate this truma's chametz on Pesach, but if he did b'shagig, he would have to pay the keren and the chaimish. And also, we finish off omid mei eitzim. The Rav says that if the truma was tameyah, then he doesn't have to pay the value of wood that the truma could have been used instead to put under, to heat up his tafshil. He could have taken this truma tameyah. We said previously in the end of Perek Aleph that truma tameyah you're allowed to use to heat up your pot, your fire for your pot. So maybe here he would have to pay for the value that he, even though it was truma tameyah and it was chametz, he could have put it underneath his pot to heat it up. The Rav's saying, no, you don't have to pay that. He's pater, b'mezid. And the Tesianta says, because truma tahira, you can't use to heat up any pot that you're cooking. And it's only mutter, b'achilishti, and sikha, eating, drinking, and anointing yourself, as the Mishnah in Shvi'is Parakhas Mishnah Bay says. But when we're talking about truma tameya, that you could use to heat up, as it says at the end of trumos, so therefore the Rav is telling you that truma tameya, we're talking here truma tameya, because by tahura, there would be no reason to talk about tamei eitzim, because you couldn't use it to heat it up. It must be talking about truma tameya, and if you did it but mezid, your pater, since it's a value, monetary value we're talking about, and this chametz has no value at all, even pater, for the value of what you could have used that truma tameya to heat up your pot. And that's the end of our shiur today. Again, questions, complaints, compliments, I'll be interested in hearing at sheldon_rothman@yahoo.com or 052-244-9331. Have a good day.